Those of you who care to, would you affirm this with me? That the Christ in me is awake now. Say it together, those who want to. The Christ in me is awake now. Let the memory of God, the memory of good, the memory of peace, the memory of joy, the memory of perfect health, let that be the presiding force in ourselves. Let the memory of what is be the force in ourselves from head to toe, toe to head. Let the memory of God, the memory of good, the memory of health and well-being obliterate any story so that the memory is vitally alive. In every cell, every tissue, every fiber of our being, head to toe and toe to head. Let us become aware of what is left when we have let go of the story. There is love. And so love is alive in me now. Love, perfect divine love, is alive in me now because we've paved the way. We've cleared the way. Through our memory of good, we have cleared the way to know love is alive in me now. So we're going to travel into the silence. On your way in, remind all the parts of you, love is alive in me now. Let's go on in. Perfect, radiating, energizing, divine love is alive in me now. It's alive in my mind and my thoughts. It's alive in my vision. It's alive in my hearing. I even hear love. It's alive in my voice. Alive in every cell, every tissue, every fiber of my being. Love is alive in my home. Love is alive on the streets that I walk. Love is alive in my relationships. Love is alive in my money. Love is alive in my past. love is most alive in my present. So, knowing this, we're about to bring our conscious awareness back here to this sanctuary, this place called unity. And as we come back, let us come back refreshed, renewed, fully aware of the good that has just taken place, that we may say thank you and amen. This talk, overcoming our resistance to love, there were two songs I thought of, and I think all of you know I know the songwriter, and so I asked him to come here today, and he said yes. He's been away for 2 weeks in different states and being treated so beautifully, but now he's home and all that's good. It's David Friedman. I'm going to stand here and watch you. Okay. I'm going to stand here and admire everything you do.
Good morning.
Two. I have what happened, and then I have the one I'm going to start telling in the future. I fell down last week in my basement, in our basement, in a fluke thing, a little plastic lid on the floor, and it got motorized when I stepped on it. I was home alone, David was away, and oh my. You know, and I'm laying there screaming, God, no, God, no. That was my first prayer. God, no, God, no, God, no. Because it hurt. And so I managed to get my foot that was wedged in between two bins out. And I checked my ankles were okay. My wrists were pretty okay. This hand hurt. My knees were okay. I thought, okay, nothing's broken. So I crawled upstairs. Could get to a phone. Otherwise, I'd still be there till last night when he got home. And while I dropped 10 pounds because of this, I'd have lost a lot more weight if I'd laid there for 2 weeks. But here's the story I'm going to tell. I thought this was a good one. I've decided last week I was voguing, and I voguged right out of control. I decided that would be a good one, and then I fell down and hurt my foo-foo. This has been something, and to never once tell myself I'm not loved during this, because it's tremendously painful. Those of you who have fallen down and pulled things, my leg is so purple. It's so much better than it was. Now it's kind of yellow and purple, which means it's healing. Yeah, the uglier it gets, the better it's getting. Would you like to see? Overcoming our resistance to love. I when I thought of this talk a couple of weeks ago, I thought, oh, that's what I do. It's what so many of us do. We resist love itself. We just resist. We said, this cannot be love. This is not love. Well, if love is the only reality, how could something not be love? Only if I tell myself it isn't. That's when it becomes, well, it's not the reality of not love, but it sure feels like it. But there is no evil. I mean, I'll tell you something. When I managed to crawl up those basement steps, and I called my board president, he and his wife are good friends of ours. And what I learned is, when these things happen, call people who are parents. They know what to do in an emergency. Anybody who's raised children knows what to do in an emergency. I called, he was there in 10 minutes. And he came in and he looked at me. And he did things that most men would not help another man to do, but he did. And then he called the ambulance. And I got to go on a stretcher. And I had to laugh because they were very nice. And the ambulance, they said, would you like to do pain management? I said, oh, yes. Do you have any Advil? And they said, well, no, but we can give you morphine. It's like, I'm not taking morphine. I thought, they don't have any Advil in that car, but they have morphine. And when I got to the hospital, it took at least a half an hour for them to order up two Motrin and a Tylenol. Because you had to file things. And what the heck? Everybody was so nice to me. And then my board president's wife, Linda, she stayed the night at my house. Make sure I was okay. Because these people love me. And it was their chance to give back to me for what they felt I've given them. And I don't even think about what I give them. I just give what I'm told to give. I get as much from what I give as, I don't know if you guys get anything or not, but believe me, my meditation helped me today. And I want to keep remembering. When I prayed in my journal, it was 2 days later. Yeah, I couldn't drive for a couple of days. And so I was at the diner near my church, and I'm praying. And I'm saying, Spirit, do I need another prayer? Do I need something else? And Spirit wrote back, Sean, keep going with the Christ in me is awake now. If the Christ in you is awake now and you're conscious with it, you've got no problems. Because then you are aware that you are loved. You are aware. I went out with somebody from fellowship on part of Wednesday evening. It was the first time we'd ever gone to have a bite. And we sat down, and he said, "So how was your day?" And I started to cry. Well, I'm very weepy these days. And I started because it was such a kind thing to ask, "How was your day?" Because I knew he wanted to know the answer. He was actually interested. He wasn't just being polite. We had a lovely evening as I sat with a cup of soup, that's about all I could eat, and a health bomb shake. Chia seeds, blueberries, and oh, it's delicious. Chia seeds, kale, blueberries. Oh my goodness, it was so good. I'd been there four nights in a row. I don't know what Britt and I are going to do in Kansas City. In Kansas, I can't go to the Darien Diner and get my cake. But I've dropped a pile of weight. And I'm very grateful for that. So I want to read something here. Excuse me while I vogue over here. Marty, Kathy, you heard this last week. Live it up. I read this in Connecticut last week. It comes from the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. And it's the book of Romans, chapter 4. And it says here, "Holy Son of God, there is one thing that you must know. You are loved. You are deeply and truly eternally treasured and loved. This love that has extended you from God and through God has not extended you for what you do. Therefore, this love cannot be stopped because of what you do not. God's love extended to you is eternal because God's love extended through you is extended for what you are. There are no criteria on which this love is dependent. You are, and so you are loved. And this love is eternal. Existence is love, and love is existence. You are loved because God created you existence. In creating you, God extended itself. In extending God's truth, that which is enrichment was enriched further. So in your existence, God itself is enriched. This is why you are God's joy. You are God's own enrichment, and that which enriches God must be enrichment itself. No part of you is absent from God, for every part of you exists." I want to explain something. Years ago in classes, one of the teachers said, "Does God exist?" And the answer was no. Because to exist is to come out of. And God is. We exist because we come out of God. Our very being exists because we come out of what is. That God is. So we never have to explain that God exists. God just is. It's the word we use. Other people use other words, but it's the same thing. Love is. Principle is. Law is. Joy is. That which is. God's love is God's promise to you. And God's love is eternal. It cannot be taken back, nor does God will that it be taken back. God itself is grateful to you for your existence because you are the extension of God's own love. And in the extension of God's love, God finds glory, or God finds its own glory, and God calls that glory you. Now, this stuff can be tricky. And something I learned in this fall, while I was voguing, is that our prayer for protection that says the light of God surrounds us and the love of God enfolds us and the power of God protects us and the presence of God watches over us is certainly not about our body. My body was not protected that day. Yes, it could have been far worse. It could have been far more traumatic. It could have, but the protection was not of my body. I got hurt. protection is of my spirit. Power of God protects you, protects your love, it protects your spirit. It protects your isness. It protects what you are. And it taught me I am not my body. I am spirit. And as a blessed spirit, I am loved and cannot not be loved. I had every opportunity to choose every thought I've had for the past couple of weeks. Every opportunity to choose my thinking. And I never knew growing up, I didn't know I could choose my thoughts, did you? How many of you knew? How many of you know now? Yeah, some of you are waving your hand, some of you I know better. I didn't know I could choose my thoughts. And even now, it's sometimes difficult to think, you mean I can choose something other than what I'm thinking, because this occasion seems right to think this. But I could choose. But as David just sang, I finally let go. I finally let go of what I was thinking. And I let go of the need to think that. I finally let go. And when I did, I found what I was looking for. When I let go of the struggle of finding, when I let go of the struggle of thinking, when I let go of the struggle, suddenly, everything I'd been hoping for was there. The follow-up is, and I didn't think it would look like you. I found you, but I didn't know you looked like that. I'm going to read a couple of things for us here. This comes from the revealing word. And it is the metaphysical meaning of resistance. Resistance, the greatest disintegrating element in the human consciousness, is resistance. Beware of every form of fighting and of all thoughts of a destructive character. Thoughts build or destroy, and they will work in your mind and body in an adverse way and tear down the good you desire to build up if you do not form them with care. A mental state of resistance indicates an unyielding personal will. Evil has no power except that which man gives it by his thought. Resisting evil is a way of affirming its power. A positive, fearless attitude in facing the appearance of evil overcomes it, and this attitude comes from the understanding that evil has no power. Now, non-resistance, a passive state of mind. The law of non-resistance, as taught by Jesus, is demonstrated only by erasing from the individual consciousness every thought of personal rights. Well, that's a bear. My gosh. Are you telling me for have to have peace? I've got to give up every thought of personal rights. Well, you might as well, because you never had them to begin with. If you want to think you have a say about what happens, look at the weather. If you want to think you have a personal say about what happens, well, those of you who are still alive, look at your age. We've all gotten older. We don't have to act old, but we have all aged. Nobody here is the size they were at birth. And if you are, you're a poor mother. You know, we didn't resist getting taller, really, until we got to a certain place and said, well, I'd prefer that. Oh, yes, but life tells you, but it's going to be this. I was like, oh, and that's the resistance starts. But even, and this is so hard, if abuse starts, it's like, but what do I do? Am I supposed to just be there? Am I supposed to just stay there and be abused? And the answer is no. You must turn to your source. You must turn to love. And most children are not taught to do that. And clearly most children have forgotten to do that. I forgot. You know, I got to be a couple of years old. I wasn't going to let these people control me. And so it became a battle through my whole childhood and into my 20s. A battle. Who's going to win? Who was going to win? I laughed the other day. David said to me, are you sure you should go to the convention this week? I said, yes. And then I got scared. I started to get scared. Maybe I shouldn't go. Maybe it's dangerous. And I thought, no, I want to go. So I started getting well. I mean, I've been to a chiropractor every day doing heat therapy and stuff. And I said, okay, stretch me, fine, it hurts, stretch. If that's going to make it better for me this week. I get to be co-MC of the International Convention of Unity Churches this year for the third year in a row. Thank you. I don't care to give up that opportunity. It's fun. And I have two very heavy suitcases because it involves a lot of clothes. And there's a reason they bring me. Part of it is, what's he going to wear? Britt is Steve Bogart's assistant and heading up the ballroom this week. And so we all get to work together. I didn't want to pass that up. I get to fly with Britt today to Kansas City. And we'll all be in the same hotel and we'll spend the week together. And these are opportunities. I couldn't let a bum leg rob me of that. So rather than resist and fight with David, no, I thought, I have to get well. I have to give myself over to wellness. I have to give myself over to, I can do what I want to do even if it hurts. Even if it's purple. Purple's a pretty color. Not on your behind it isn't, but it's a pretty color. So Imelda Shanklin, who wrote What Are You? And if you've never read this book, I so recommend it. It's a great book. It's an old Unity standard. But she says, mental resistance is mental opposition. It is the animus that gives rise to physical and to disputatious oppositions. Put that in your dictionary. Disputatious. I bet people know that word. I think you can get what it means. It is the spirit that steals your mind to rule or to destroy, that sets you as adamant against or for a thing, that diffuses in your consciousness a pugnacity that banishes mental quietude. Mental resistance is the fact and the act in all the resistance that you exercised. Hurts are produced by resistance. You know, my resistance last week is that I didn't fall into the fall. I'm trying every way I could to not fall. I got hurt. You make yourself a candidate for bruises, for buffetings, for postponements. The things that you meet in life do not hurt you. They are powerless to affect you. But your reaction to them may affect you, or they may hurt you. If you resist by active opposition, you most certainly will be hurt. She says, I was doing an evening entertainment. I had turned off the lights and reached the door. Then I remembered that my ticket was in a drawer of my desk. Without putting on the lights, I returned to my desk, stooped to open the drawer. I was moving rapidly. My cheekbone came into violent contact with the pointed back of a chair. I saw stars. I saw moons and suns. I saw the whole of the Milky Way. I saw Barbara Streisand at that moment. Instantly, I put my hand over my cheek and said, let us see what my faith, coupled to the willingness of God, will do in the matter. There was no hurting. Ordinarily, I would have carried for days the mark of that encounter. There was a slight graining of the skin, but no redness, no bruise, no soreness. Had I made a fist and struck the chair. I love this. Had I made a fist and struck the chair, I should have a discolored face and a blackened knuckle. Imagine if I had tried to punish my basement floor. Imagine if I hit somebody because I don't like how they look at me. Imagine if I started punching buses because they leave as I get to the bus stop, or subways. If I tried to chase the subway who just left. Imagine. I'm even starting to get pretty good at when I hear someone doesn't like me and realizing it's not about me. I will go in and ask, is there any truth to this? But if I can't find it, I will realize, oh, it's not about me. I don't have to punish myself or them. And I can go on about my business. This week, I saw that some television shows were part of my resistance to getting well. Not intentionally. They were very entertaining. They were also rather violent. I was watching Animal Kingdom, which is a great show, great acting. But I thought, this is not helping me heal. I am not loving God, myself, and the universe watching this. So I heard the voice that said, Sean, watch something funny. Watch something great. So I put on Steel Magnolias. I laughed and I had a good cry. And I needed a good cry. I put on Friends. I put on those things so I can laugh. I can heal. David and I watched Pose last night. First episode of the second season. That's where I got the idea for my story. That I vote my way into this pain. And that's the one I'm sticking with. From now on, I will not be talking about falling in my basement. I will be talking about my Vogue accident. It's all made up anyway. So, non-resistance means not to oppose, mentally or physically. In non-resistance, there is no misuse of power through combativeness or through defensive tactics. The strength of all your gifts can be turned to the creation of harmonies. And she ends with, you are heaven's non-resistant, all-conquering hero. So, today, and all days coming, at every moment we can possibly declare it to ourselves, no matter what is going on. And I'm not telling you don't have your feelings. I'm telling you know the truth. For the statement is not, you will have a feeling and you will be set free. It does not say you will have an opinion and you will be set free. It says you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. From this moment and every moment you can remember it, declare to yourself, I am loved. I am loved. I am loved. Choose for that thought. I am loved. Let's say it together. I am loved. Say it again. I am loved. One more time. I am loved. Resonate with that. Try it on. See how it fits if it's not completely comfortable yet. Alter it just enough that it can fit your current belief system. But put no conditions on it. Make an assumption, no matter what is going on, I am loved. And while knowing I am loved, I can choose a different thought. Let's hear David again. Thank you.
Oh. one there to light the way in the darkness, like the white wings of a dove. If the wings are mine to give, I give love. It's too easy being cynical. It's not enough to just survive. The heroes are the ones who hope and keep the dream alive. The dream of all of the people breathing together, sharing one time and space, searching the eyes of each passing stranger, finding the same sweet grace. It's a simple little miracle we all keep dreaming of. The answer's very clear. If we want to make it here, the choice is love or fear. I choose love.